Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Syndication Station, the podcast where we watch television shows we grew up with, invite you to come along, watch them with us, we talk about them, and then we make fun of each other. It's a good time, had by all.
I don't make fun of you ever.
Lies. Shut up, Dom, you smell like piss.
you redheaded dirt.
Oh, just like every week, guess the podcast is over. See you guys later. Joining us this week are Dom Ischidi, Josh Henderson, and I'm Mike Sadorf. You guys might know us from various things around the internet. And most importantly, Dom and Josh host another podcast called Fantasy Fiction, and it's absolutely fantastic.
Sublime.
Guys, tell us a little bit about Fantasy Fiction.
It's a show where you can hear us talk about fantasy to each other.
Are we on The Price is Right?
Yes.
Come on,
you'll be driving home in.
Dude, every episode of Fantasy Fiction is recorded inside of the Musclebead Tavern. And so somebody's about to be murdered at every second. So you have to listen to it. It's taut with tension. It's fantastic. What are you guys going to be talking about this week on Fantasy Fiction? What's the cue for the latest episode?
Shamans
and executions.
I love it. And how many episodes have you guys done now? It's been on for like 6 months, hasn't it?
Yeah, this will be the 31st episode.
This many.
Wow, we're getting really close to a year, Josh.
I'm afraid. What are we going to do? Oh, God.
I'm afraid. Oh,
I'm
God.
I'm going to try and buy one of those dragon statues.
Dude, I'm going to try fucking buying fucking Glamdring. That's what
Hell yeah, that's all, dude.
I want.
Dude, we need some swords.
Yeah.
We might need to buy ourselves some swords for the year anniversary.
Dude, everybody needs more than one sword. You guys need at least some swords.
I have a
sword and a dagger. Josh has a sword.
I have lightsabers.
I have a katana, but that's really dumb.
Get out of here.
Let's move on. You guys might also know Josh from Continue Cast, which I sometimes am a guest on, also Dom, and Continue Show 2.
Yes.
The fourth episode. they know us by now.
I just, in case we have new listeners, you know, we have been featured on the front page of iTunes for the last couple weeks. Boom! There's that plug. How do you like that?
And it's all thanks to these gentlemen and ladies who are listening.
It absolutely is.
Mike, I gotta ask.
Go ahead.
What'd you do this week, homie?
Tom, you know what I did this week? I just sat in this room, read their comments on the subreddit, and thanked... And mentally thanked all of our listeners and supporters thus far. And then I just turned the lights off and waited to do the podcast for like 2 minutes.
You didn't watch one episode of X-Files?
What did I just say? I sat and waited.
I've been waiting.
No, I was I stopped right at the beginning of the fifth season of the X-Files. Had to put it on hold. Had to get a little bit of World of Warcraft in. You know, kind of prepping for this show a little bit too. But also working on Smart Guys, which is an upcoming web series that Josh and I were a part of, creative forces behind. And some other people in this podcast may be making a special guest appearance on. You never know. And
is it me?
It's Dom. Spoilers.
Could you not spoil it?
Jesus. Christmas and Joseph. But what else did I do this week? I don't know. I think I took a shower at one point.
You ate pizza, didn't you?
I did eat pizza. Somebody sent me an internet pizza, and it was delicious.
That's
Thank
the best
you, Jean-Luc.
Kind of pizza.
It is. It tasted like bits and bites. That's enough out of me. Josh, what did you do this week?
Pizza.
I played Star Wars The Old Republic a lot. I watched, what did I watch? I watched a bunch of things. Watched the Clone Wars. I'm big into the Star Wars now. Have you heard of it?
You're deep in it.
Tell me about the Star Wars.
I'm knuckle deep in the Star Wars. Right now. Which one? The Clone Wars or the game?
All of them.
Star Wars is a movie series?
Can I just get the abridged history, please? You have 10 seconds. Go.
There's good guys and bad guys, and there's a fight in space once.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
He did it.
I'm impressed. I'm impressed. It's like you write fiction for a living or something.
Yeah, weird.
Real fucking weird. Dom, how about you? What were you up to this week?
Oh, man. I've been packing orders for Fantasy Fiction, shipping out merch. And while I'm doing that, I've been watching a little bit of wrestling. And
old wrestling,
and some new wrestling and Night Gallery because it's on Hulu, and I've been watching a lot of it. I think I watched 4 episodes last night.
Dude, you're going crazy with the Night Gallery,
dude. It's dope. It's really cool because it's Rod Serling hosting and adapting short stories. There's a couple original stories in there, but most of them are short stories adapted by Rod Serling. And that's great. It's really rad.
We might have to get around to that series at some point on our show. What do you think, Dom?
Absolutely. I got an episode all lined up.
Yeah.
Dom's... Holy shit.
Just so you know, it's always Halloween in Dom's mind. Always.
That's very true.
So I guess we could start the show. This week we asked everybody to join us in watching the first episode of Amazing Stories, a series created by Steven Spielberg. That is another fantasy anthology. It lasted for 2 seasons in the 80s. And
with tales of magic and horror!
There's knights fighting glass windows and something, and I don't know. And the episode we watched was Ghost Train. If you haven't watched it yet, turn this goddamn podcast off right now and go do your homework! Go to your room, you son of a...
Go shut up and watch TV!
He learned from you, Josh. He learned from you. God.
Ugh. I would be a terrible father.
Jesus Christ. Where did we end up? How did we get here?
To the show!
So let's talk a little bit about Amazing Stories, the series. First, what little we have available to us to talk about, and then we'll talk about the episode. For those
I am
of
completely
you...
unfamiliar okay. with this show. I remember the intro when I was a child.
Right.
And that's
a lot
all.
Of people do.
It's a vague fragment of a memory.
We have a lot of comments about that. And I'm going to say this before we dive in. This is going to be the comment cast. That's what we're going to call this episode.
Oh,
because you, our listeners, our participatory commenters on the subreddit, made this episode of the podcast, and you don't even know it yet. So don't worry if you weren't thrilled with this episode of this television show that we watched, which we'll get to in a minute. Stay tuned, because I think you guys are going to really like this one. So Amazing Stories, again, was created by Steven Spielberg. It's his return to the small screen after having his career began directing – his professional career began directing a TV movie called Duel.
Duel.
Right, which thematically he later sort of superimposed over Peter Benchley's Jaws, which is a whole other thing. And you can learn about that in a film class someday. I don't have to teach you about that.
This is better than a film class.
You're goddamn right. You don't have to pay a cent.
It's free.
Well, it is, Dom. We would prefer
if you go to college.
You
yeah,
have though. Three professors.
I'm like
you get
professor.
Smart professor, hot professor, and idiot professor. I'll let you sort out which one that is.
Yep. You get to pick your own adventure.
I would love some fan art to that extent, please. That would be lovely. So the opening theme to this episode to this series was composed by John Williams, as was the music for the first episode. But
what
people
ever do?
Yeah, I don't know. He's some composer man or something like that.
Scarbores? Some show.
He just wrote the he scored Life. For about 40 years, he just scored all of life.
Like everything he does. Yeah.
Yeah, everything. Like every day you wake up, you're like, if you hear music in your head, you're like, oh, John Williams. Okay, cool. So I got that. So the intro to the show is probably the most notorious thing about it, more so than the episodes or even like the show ever existing. Like Josh said, he remembered the intro. Now, I believe somebody's got to do some deep research for me here because I tried to find out. I couldn't find the Pixar story online to watch. Maybe I just skipped it. Pixar did a documentary a couple years ago. It's mostly like a profile of like Brad Bird and Brad Lessinger and whatnot in the beginning of
– Let me sum it up for you.
The Pixar
the Pixar story.
Yeah, the documentary. Go ahead.
This is the narrative that they've created in the Pixar story.
Go ahead.
They had an idea. Things were tough, but then they got good again.
Then it got
and
good
they
again.
They were making movies, but then they had a challenge. But it's okay. Things got good again.
I would highly recommend everybody checks out the documentary. It's a fantastic documentary about creativity, perseverance, animation specifically. But also a little
zero
bit...
boobs in this movie. I'm telling you, you don't want to watch.
Not even a single animated tit.
Dom, there's a dancing dinosaur in the beginning. There is a dancing dinosaur in the beginning of the Pixar story.
Oh, like no one's ever seen a dancing dinosaur.
But yeah. I believe at one point... during the Pixar story, when they talk about them formulating actually designing the computers at ILM that would later, you know, the people who like worked on them and did the animation for all these different movies.
ILM invented Pixar.
Yeah, yeah. The Sherlock Holmes series at the time there. They like won Emmys and Academy Awards and whatnot. Or not series, a Sherlock Holmes movie at the time. I believe the intro to this show was created by the, you know, the foundation of the Pixar
Sure? Because I think the episode I watched was shot on a cell phone as viewed from a 28.8K modem on a Tandy.
Listen, in 1984, 85, these were cutting-edge graphics. That knight is completely 3D CG. That's incredible. It's in that those books, those flying books, like, and they flew through that screensaver, you know?
Hey, Steven, we got all this test footage. Why don't you watch it? And he's like, "Yeah, this is good for my
show." That Dom, you're absolutely right. They were creating like assets like inside the software, and they were like, you could use this. You could probably.
Well, do you want us to like elaborate on like the book part?" He's like, "No, I like how like just two books fly by."
What's in the books?
It starts off. Somebody made a comment. You know, actually, it's funny. I don't have this comment written down here, but somebody did comment about like how they like how the intro starts off. It's like, oh, it gives you a good semblance of an idea of where you're going. It's like it's a caveman sitting around telling a story, and then like it bookends that, no pun intended, with the caveman
that's
telling
racist
the story
for you to call him a caveman,
and for us to be watching it on television. But everything in between is kind of like technology. So if anybody could find out for me, I don't have the DVDs for this series. I don't have any behind the scenes. It's very hard to find. If I believe it was ILM, and maybe the computers and the software that they used. That they had designed for the first Pixar projects, like when they started doing the 3D renderings of the Brave Little Toaster story. Or no, I'm sorry, it was Where the Wild Things Are. That was the first thing they put into like 3D composite, but it was hand drawn animation. All right, that's a different podcast.
You know what I like about this intro though?
Go ahead. What's that?
Is at the end when they pops on the TV, it's like, oh, and here's that man telling that story, and like the father looks to his family as if to like he's about to say something, and I imagine he goes, "What the hell are we watching? This is just a guy telling a story." Jake, give me the remote.
My takeaway from that intro was, man, people set up their living rooms weird in 1985.
Well, they set them up so you can see it on TV.
Dom, I don't want to hear your excuses. These guys are filmmakers. They should be able to figure out how to move a camera around a goddamn room.
No. I'm just saying every home was set up that way, just in case a TV camera.
That makes more sense. That definitely makes a lot more sense.
That family was totally a Kudos
home,
family.
A Nickelodeon home? Remember that commercial?
Dude, I remember that. That was crazy. What was that for? Was that for a contest?
No, it was just like a Nickelodeon. It was when they were rebranding and they were like, we're different. We don't just play weird old shows.
Oh, yeah. When cable TV was a thing. Speaking of which, we'll get into that in this episode, but satellite television with an actual parabolic satellite dish that's the size of a car in your backyard.
That's huge.
Had a couple of those in my neighborhood back in the day.
Yep,
but,
me too.
So this series in general, the reason why we decided to dip into this well was not just to try another anthology series as opposed to like serialized narrative, which is probably what we'll be dealing with mostly throughout this podcast, or not, who knows. We decided that
or whatever the fuck we want.
Yeah, dude, there are no rules.
Don't tell me not to walk on the grass.
Yo, yeah, Dom, blaze it, 420, whatever, man. Hashtag syndication station, hashtag blaze it 420.
Blaze it 420.
You're gonna have to type out 420 though, because I don't think you can hashtag numbers.
Okay.
I'm gonna try it right now. I'm gonna tweet it.
Get off the internet now.
I'm gonna live tweet it right now.
Get down from that internet.
Live tweet. So when people are listening to this, on Friday, they'll be like, "Oh my god, I saw that tweet on Wednesday. That's so crazy."
I'm trying it.
So after we went a little heavy last week with our Obsolete Man episode of The Twilight Zone, we thought it would be a nice change of pace to do something a little bit lighter this week. I guess we were wrong, because our audience really seemed to prefer the more thought-provoking fare of The Twilight Zone, Star Trek, and even The X-Files in our first week. So, which was surprisingly refreshing for us to hear from an audience. So we promised not to disappoint you guys by not having a deep discussion about this episode, whether you liked it or not.
I have things to say. I don't know
exactly
what these fools are talking about.
I do. And I think our audience had some deep things to say about it, too. Mm-hmm. They were fantastically constructive in their criticisms. But there was a resounding sentiment of that this was just sort of sentimental whimsy fare. Whimsy specifically. So
it was made by Steven Spielberg.
It certainly was. But we're going to get into some real deep, dark territory in the future with upcoming episodes of Syndication Station. Promise. And But you are going to have to stick with us through episodes of Tales from the Crypt and Dinosaurs, because those shows are great and you can go fuck yourself. So. Hi, Josh, why don't you get us started? Let's talk about Ghost Train.
Ghost Train is very Steven Spielberg. It's like somebody like went into Steven Spielberg's bedroom at night and looked through his underwear drawer and then wrung out his filthy underwear into a piece of television.
24 minutes of television. It's even got the frantic mom. Steven Spielberg signature.
Dude,
frantic mother.
We've been talking about deep cuts.
What is it? There's a train in my living room.
Dude, we've been talking about real deep cuts. Deepest cut, Steven Spielberg hallmark in this episode, the shooting star.
The shooting star.
There's a shooting star and an establishing
the
shot.
Shadows, the shadows.
He's always got stories about trains.
Yeah, yeah, that's the lamp falling over and the shadows on the wall, the giant shadows. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Dude, all the tropes are there.
Yep.
And it's a big stinking turd.
Oh, Dom.
Seriously, you see, directed by Steven Spielberg, I would bet that it was made by a guy who watched two Steven Spielberg films and went, I can do this.
J.J. Abrams?
It was J.J. Abrams.
How about this? How about we say, I'm going to submit four Steven Spielberg movies. Stick with me.
Mm-hmm.
Close Encounters of the Third Kind for the mystery and tension.
Okay.
Then E.T. for the child's perspective, the camera being at child level most of the time, and the adult's disbelief in the supernatural. Poltergeist, which Spielberg wrote and produced and possibly ghost directed, nobody's really sure, for the visuals and the tone.
I thought an actual ghost directed that. I thought
Steven Spielberg's future ghost.
Spectre Spielberg.
Poltergeist was ghost directed by Steven Spielberg. I fucking dropped the ball on that. Can you believe it? Jesus Christ! But like for this episode, it's like the tone of the fun scary. It's like sort of creepy, but at the same time, it's sort of fun. And the big one, the last one I'll submit, and this is where I'm ready to go to the mat with everybody and defend this show to the end. This episode to the end, Jaws, because this the story here. Subtext that everybody missed, not that everybody missed, that's just my opinion, is that this is a story about a man missing his destiny and it coming back for him.
It is, like it's that.
Yeah, for sure.
Like how Quint was supposed to have been eaten by a shark when the Indianapolis was sunk, and he tells that story in Jaws, and then all those years later, the devil comes back for him. I mean, the white whale comes back for him. He's Ahab and, the peg leg, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay,
the old man, but we'll get to it. But those, Josh and Dom, I'm with you. It's like somebody was like, hey, Steven Spielberg, these are all the things he did, but can you blame him?
This
is fine.
This was, 84?
85. Same.
The planet was going bonkers for Steven Spielberg at this point. People were going fucking crazy.
I need to have that new Spielberg jam.
Yeah,
dude,
man.
List the credits. Let's go. Just off the top of our heads. All the movies I just named and Raiders.
Which has a great frantic mom in it.
Future frantic mom.
Dude, no, that's you're thinking of Temple of Doom.
Oh, that's great. Yep, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
Kate Capshaw.
And that's his wife.
That's his real life frantic mom.
JP. JP's got great frantic mom.
Yeah, man. Yes, it does. So,
hey, and I'll say this, man. Go watch Jurassic Park again.
Yeah.
Okay. Drop everything about that film that you are
like
amazed by, that the graphics still hold up.
Oh,
watch that film. It is not good.
What, Jurassic Park?
It's not.
Whoa. You did a U-turn on me. I thought you were going to tell everybody it's a great movie. Go ahead, Dom.
No,
lay it
I'm
out.
Going heel turn.
Let's do it. We're not even talking about Ghost Train anymore. What's going
on? Small tangent.
I don't care.
That film when it was re-released in theaters. Mm-hmm. I sat through it. I will say that is an enjoyable film. You have a good time. Everything you know about that film, everything you love about the graphics still holding up, forget it. Look at that film as a script and watch it as a film. Mm-hmm. It's not that great.
Jurassic Park is a really good example of you watching Steven Spielberg seeing how much he can get away with. And I don't think I would never fault the movie for that. he says it on, so I'm a huge fan of Jaws, and I've watched every featurette, every documentary about it, and he repeatedly says at multiple times in interviews and stuff about how he changed the ending of the book, you know, and they have, of course, you know, Brody shoots the tank and blows up Jaws' head. And when they were making the movie, Benchley and the producers and everybody's like, Steven, you can't do that. That's ludicrous. That's insane. Like, that's so – that in a movie about a 25-foot shark that's a serial killer, that's too crazy.
Right.
And Spielberg says his – and he, this is him saying this in these interviews. He's like, what I told them was I've had them for 2.5 hours. I can do whatever the fuck I want.
Right.
And he's right. Mm-hmm. And he's absolutely right. And a lesser filmmaker wouldn't be able to get away with those things. But, Dom, I'll give you some credence to your point here, because in Jurassic Park, there's a lot of that. And it's not a, like, it's not like technical goofs or like, no, you know, like overlooks. It's just sort of like – I think a really prime example of that is the T-Rex comes out of the pen.
The pen, to, and then the pen is a pit.
It comes out of the pen to attack the Jeeps, but then a minute later, he needs the pen to be a pit because that's what he needs for tension, like you said, Dom, about like the fall – and so he just changes it. And it's, yeah, but it's almost sloppy here filmmaking.
It is. The resolution of that film is that the girl is a hacker and she can go and fly through a database because that's how you go through databases, is you virtually fly through them.
Well, Linux system in the 80s when the
maybe.
Book was written.
Regardless
maybe.
Of that. Regardless of that. That's just a cheesy thing.
Okay.
The resolution to that film is a one-line thing that happens way earlier in the film where she goes, I'm a hacker.
Yes, I know you.
And that's it.
It's Dom, that's in writing tropes, that's known as Chekhov's gun.
Yeah.
When you hang a gun on the wall in the first act, you damn well better use
Someone's
it in the second
gonna
act.
Use it.
Someone's
sure.
gonna use it. Right. And so yeah, like
it was just done really crappily. It's like, yeah, I have the key.
Yeah, they're great.
Be like, what key
gun.
Are I'm sorry, what key are you talking about?
Just it's
I don't
key.
Even remember that, just forget that I said it.
Right, right. I got what you're saying. I mean, like, there are times
anyway.
Where
anyway.
There are times when a script can do that, you know, skillfully, and a director can get away with it. But
I think Spielberg gets away with it, and that's part of his charm. He's sort of I'll defend Steven Spielberg. I really like him as a director and as a storyteller because it's pure fantasy. I mean, it's
I enjoy. I mean, don't get me wrong. I enjoy Jurassic Park. I just don't think it's not the great movie that people think it is.
I understand.
However, that said, let's get down to the brass tacks.
Mm-hmm.
I hated when kids would call their grandparents other names, like not grandpa and grandma.
Like Steve?
No. Not happening in my town. Not happening on my lack
what
of
do you call? What do you call your grandparents?
No, old pop?
Grandpa and grandma.
You don't call them like pop-pop or anything?
Yeah. Hell no.
Oh my God.
Sorry, Dom.
I think
you missed the train on that one.
My neighbors down the street growing up called their grandparents me mom and me dad.
And what? That's all right. Well, I hope that
that's made up speak.
I hope they die. Josh, I know it's just, I'll finish your thought. I know you hope they die. So
not the grandparents. I hope the neighbors.
No, the grandparents are dead by now. They're definitely dead.
Yeah, probably.
They're
I also really hated whiny kids on TV. And this kid is the whiniest. He's stereotypical,
right,
flailing, helpless Steven Spielberg child.
Yep, Steven Spielberg child. Yep.
This
yep.
to take a note from a fantastic show Red Letter Media is a production company that does I think we maybe mentioned them before on this podcast, and they do film reviews and whatnot. And Mike Scalassa did a review of the Star Trek movie. I may have even talked about it in our Star Trek episode. I'm not sure, but he sort of hits the nail on the head when he explains when you have to speed up characterization and like. Mm-hmm. He just calls it electrifying them, and that's what you get in this movie. You have 24 minutes to get everything across, and it's like, hey, this kid is wide-eyed and bushy-tailed, and he's crazy, and he's fully energetic. Go!
It's Lucas.
Like,
it's Lucas Haas.
It's Lucas that's Haas to the mteenth degree. Of course it is. And he was in everything. I looked up his IMDb to be like, oh, people might know him from. I'm like, the 80s and 90s.
He was in Brick. He's the drug dealer.
Yeah, people probably most notably know him from Brick, like our audience. And he's in the Death Cab for Cutie music video for Kath. And I happen to love that song and music video. Get at me. Judge me. Whatever you want to do. But yeah, Lucas Haas is a lot of hate. A lot of hate in the comments for Lucas Haas specifically, but child actors in general, guys. What don't you like about child actors? What's the problem?
There are some great ones.
Yeah.
There were some good ones. There are some great ones.
Danny from The Shining is awesome. He does a great job.
He's incredible. That little girl from The Fall is unreal.
She's really good.
There's maybe an argument there that they're not really acting. They're just little kids on camera.
Well, how about that little girl from True Grit? She was great.
She was really good.
Yeah, she was.
She's a little older, but she's great.
You said E.T., Mike. The kid from that movie is, what's his name?
Drew Barrymore.
Elliot.
Elliot, and E.T.
He's great. And that's an example
audition,
of
it's scary.
Yeah, it's fucking beautiful. It's fucking crazy.
And Spielberg knows how to cast him. I mean, it's Lucas Haas. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's who the little kid is, you know? I mean, he became a better actor than he was when he was 8. So I don't know what kind of standard you guys want to try to hold him against. But.
Dude, if you're going to be in front of people, you better. I don't care if you're 8.
Yeah, those kids.
Did you guys have trains growing up?
I did.
Oh, yeah. You know me, Dom. My dad.
Mike did.
Yeah, A1 train collector. My dad's a major electric train hobbyist, which is really funny because that's like the nerdiest shit.
My grandpa had a train.
Your opa?
Your opa.
Oh, my God.
Your opa had a train set?
Oh, my God.
I was like, was he saying old pa? I was like, what is he saying?
I think at points, like, the parents do call him old pa because they're just reading the script wrong.
I don't think. Is it opa? Is it supposed to be?
It's opa listed on the IMDb.
Yeah, like German, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and like, but like, in my head, Robert Blossom, who, Dom, of course, we know him as... You know, the shovel serial killer from Home Alone. Mm-hmm. What's his name?
Oh, yeah.
Was it Mr. McMurphy or something like that? What the fuck's his name? Yeah,
Salt
dude,
Man.
He's great. And that
scary German guy.
Dude, that guy in that movie, Robert Blossom in Home Alone, is incredible.
You know what that's from, right?
What, scary German guy?
Yeah.
No, what?
Oh, what?
Monster Squad.
Oh, wow. Dude.
It's your last chance for pie.
Yeah, man. We might have to watch
classic
that
lines.
That might
anyway.
Have to be a movie you watch on syndication station. But Robert Blossom also appeared in Steven Spielberg work, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, where he stands up and gives a speech about, he's like an old coot in that movie. He's like, I seen the aliens once. And he basically does that 2-minute scene from that movie for 24 minutes in this episode. But he's great. And at one point in my head, I'm like, Opa, old Josh, because that's going to be you as a grandfather, Josh.
That's what I was going to say. It looks
you
like
you look just
me.
Like him. Yeah, he looks just like you. And, like, you're going to, like, have a grandson, you know? Like, you're going to have a grandson someday. You'll have one. You give birth to him when you're, like, 60. And he'll be like,
they just
eight.
Come out. If you don't have a wife, they just show up.
Fuck, man.
When you're sleeping. And
I'm
you just wake
ready.
Up.
As we established earlier, I'm going to be a terrible father.
But you're going to be a great grandfather.
But you're going to be a great grandfather.
And, right. and you'll also be a great grandfather. See what I did there?
What was going on in the 80s with like the respect your elders shit? Like, Cocoon, Batteries Not Included, the Twilight Zone movie, all are like, hey, old people are valuable. And I'm not saying it's a bad... theme. I'm not saying I don't agree, but what was going on with that?
Let me say this. There hasn't been a lot of those tales in a long time.
No,
and I gotta say, old people, you are in my crosshair. I've had enough of you. Get out of my way.
Especially if you're not named Grandpa or Grandma. Get out.
Oh my.
So wait, real quick. Josh, two of the three things you just named, Steven Spielberg was
attached
to.
Cocoon and Batteries Not Included.
Well, no. He also directed the segment in the Twilight Zone movie.
I might have assumed he did Cocoon because it just feels like.
Yeah, he and Batteries Not Included was supposed to be an episode of this show. Amazing Stories. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that movie.
We had that on a VHS when I was a kid, and we watched it. And every time I put it on, I was like, when are the aliens going to do things?
Instead of making Steven Spielberg aliens, they show up and they're like, we like pinball.
Yeah, they're like, do you want us to make you some breakfast, old people? I'm sorry, Ron Howard directed Cocoon, so that's like Steven Spielberg Jr.
Yeah, he's like, hey, I can do this, right? Yeah, I'll just do everything that guy does.
Yeah.
All right, let's... Let's try to recenter on this episode. Do you guys want to talk about this episode point by point? Or you want to talk about it thematically?
Drop a comment on me, Mike. Drop them hot comments.
I want to get to the comments. I'm going to say one last thing. Here's what I'm going to do. Okay? Before we get into the comments, I'm going to submit my idea for the episode. I'd like to hear you two submit your ideas for the episode, too. For, like, what you thought was happening here. because I know everybody saw it, everybody understands it's not too hard. What I'm going to say is I'm going to come back to my point about cheating fate. So what happens is a little kid falls asleep waiting for a train. The train derails, kills everybody but him. Mm-hmm. So now this, I think this is left up for interpretation of one of two ways. Was he supposed to have died and didn't? Like Quint in the sinking of the Indianapolis, was it just by chance he didn't get eaten by a shark or run over by a train? Or was this a matter of it was a gift given to him, or, you know, the universe just happened to bend in that character's direction so that they could have an entire life where they affect and shape other people's lives, but then ultimately re-arriving at the same destiny because you can never escape your fate.
Well, you can never escape death.
Right, you can't escape death. And of course, it's not like the train comes back to
kill
him.
I mean, I'm going to, but you guys.
The train comes back symbolically not really symbolically. It comes back literally to symbolically, you know, end his life. That, like, he's going on another journey now. This one's ended. He's dying. He's going into something else. Their destinies are interwoven, the kid and the train. I think tonally this is done really well in a couple awesome shots in the beginning, but I'll give a lot of people credit to their criticisms and say that that's kind of put aside because they have to tell the rest of the story and they have to get it done quickly.
Sure.
I think that may have fallen victim to the fact that it's the first episode of the series before they realized they could stretch their legs into like hour-long episodes, which they eventually did. But this – I don't know. The train ride to heaven at the end doesn't really bother me. It happens at the end of Sid and Nancy and nobody really seems to care.
It doesn't bother me.
And the end of Taxi Driver, you know?
Happens at the end of Thelma and Louise.
Yeah,
you know? They
exactly.
transcend into heaven.
Yeah, man. I mean, what did you guys – I mean, what else do you guys think about this episode?
I got more from it that it was a – just a nice story that deals with – like saying goodbye to your loved ones. It's
yeah.
I didn't get the. I mean, the cheating fate thing is there, but like, I don't know. Like, it's more about the kid and the grandfather because like the like as a kid, like losing like a grandfather that especially one you really love is like horrible. But this was like a nice like peaceful, poetic way of sort of saying like, look, everybody dies and you know, it doesn't have to be this terrible thing. Like, they're all okay with it when he dies. Like, they just say goodbye to him and then they're like, what's our insurance company? You know?
Did we insurance?
Yeah,
do we have,
right?
Do we have ghost train coverage? I don't know. I mean,
that's an act of God, I think. I don't know.
Dude, I
well, insurance adjusters come out and go, what the fuck happened?
We were in a Steven Spielberg episode of a television show. Sorry.
Okay. You're covered.
Yeah, right. That's all you had to say.
Did any little UFOs make you guys breakfast at the end? Or
aliens massaged my sore toe.
I can't tell you for how many years I've been saying thank you, Mr. Coffee, to things and like people never getting that reference. And now I'm glad that like at least a couple thousand people
at least
will have that reference now when they're like, oh, thank you, Mr. Coffee.
I thought this episode made a point, and maybe this is the subtext, but I would say this story is about stories and storytelling and the importance of stories.
Yeah. I agree.
Like, the reason he loves his grandfather, obviously because his grandfather loves him back.
Yep.
He cares for him. Everybody loves everybody. But the thing he's going to miss the most is Grandpa's stories.
Right.
And he says that right before he gets on the train. And he says, hey, if you keep the stories in your brain, I'll always be with you. Or something to that effect. And I think that's kind of a good point to make in the first episode because that's essentially what the intro is about. Is man, humans have a knack for telling stories and listening to stories.
Yeah.
It's something we do. It's something we'll do until we are extinct from this earth, you know? And it's been happening forever.
Yep.
So it's like, I thought that was like a really neat point to like kind of like put a little period on at the end of the episode.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Josh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, that's a really good point. We talk a lot about this on that show, and I think that is mirrored in our, you know, how we talk about these shows. Like, we're obviously picking shows that we really love the stories to, and I love shows like this that just show like the ingenuity and the cleverness behind telling a story over a visual medium.
Very much so. Very much
at the
so.
End of the day, I mean, I wasn't crazy about the episode, but it made me forget about my life for a little bit. And yeah, they do dangle the carrot in front of you that you do want to see what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it serves its purpose whether or not you really liked it or not.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, it is crammed into 24 minutes.
I think the show, it could have gotten away from itself with the over-sentimentality if it hadn't been for Robert Blossom's, like, really grounded and excellent performance.
Few good lines. Like, when he says, good. Like, I still am that little boy, like, that's a really good line.
That's a great line.
His delivery, when he's like, I don't seem to have my ticket. Like, it's, I don't know, man, it cut me to the quick. And when
he's walking through the house and it's all shaken and shit, like...
Oh, it's great. That's really the very close encounters part. And Dom, you said it best, man. When he tells the kid that, he tells Lucas Haas about the stories, man, I'm not gonna lie to you, dude, pull my strings a little bit. I don't know, maybe because I was a little kid when I watched this and the whole train thing, that was kind of like part of my life, and maybe I just want everybody to share this experience with me so everybody can go to hell while I defend the show. But I'm just kidding. But, you know, I don't know, man, I think a lot of times in stories like this, you have a character looking back on their life or reflecting on a moment, and it's full of regret. And instead, I think he looks back with reverence. There's providence to his life. He realizes that, you know, he escaped. He should have died. He's like, I should have died. It's not like he wished he would have died.
Right.
He just knows he should have. And then everything around him or his entire life is because he didn't. And how much that means to him.
I think
that's what the rest of us can take away from that too. I don't know.
I think that the train isn't a literal train, obviously. Like, it could be anything, any death. It is death. So it could have been, you know, we all know that Steven Spielberg loves World War II. Maybe the grandfather fought in World War II. Maybe he, you know, whatever. It's just the point is that, like, instead of meeting death, like, terrified, like we all think people do all the time,
right?
You know, maybe it's not like that all the time. And if you're, you know, if you've lived your life and I don't know, you had a kid and whatever, and you got a dumb grandkid, maybe that's all you need, or
and you got a fucking 20-foot satellite dish so you can watch 20 channels.
And if a ghost train's coming to pick you up, fuck it, man. Let's
get on board.
Hop on board. See where it takes you.
All right, let's get to these comments because they were absolutely fantastic. Guys, again, we can't thank you enough for commenting so much on the subreddit, for participating in our dialogue, and for giving us stuff to talk about as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And if you want to visit that subreddit, it's reddit.com/r/syndicationstation. And thank you again to Red Xena for setting that up.
Yep, and we couldn't. This show wouldn't be what it is if it wasn't for you guys. All the fantastic 5-star comments on the iTunes and all the support you guys are giving us on social media. Awesome. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And if you have a time, leave a review. We'll get to that later. You can go on with the comments.
Oh, no! Steven Spielberg! How do I get out of this one?
Well, the first thing you should... I don't know.
All right, so our first comment comes from Arcade Sushi, contributing writer and friend of the show, Coyd Grey Wolf Perry. And he wrote a fantastically hilarious summary of this episode, which you can check out on the subreddit. But we're not going to dignify here because fuck you, Coyd. This show was great.
Next comment.
I kind Next of agree com-
Next
with
comment.
Everything he said.
Dude, he was it's so long, and I wouldn't do it any justice by reading it on here. It's really good. Work on your punctuation, Coyd. Go to hell. Okay, people were kind of divided on this episode and their feelings about it, about going forward with the series in general. I'm going to butcher everybody's name. So I think it's Balisikos. Is that how you say it, Dom?
Balisikos?
Balisikos. I don't know. Balisikos wrote,
that guy.
I see what they were trying to go for, and it was indeed kind of touching. But at the same time, there seemed to be absolutely no stakes. But he also wrote, I assume it's a he. I apologize. Gender neutral. They also wrote, I did love the cheesiness of it all, though. I love nothing better than these dated graphics from the 80s and 90s, and I definitely would like to watch some more.
There's something warm about that. There's a charm to it, isn't it? Even though it is super cheesy, you're like, ah, this is so crappy, but I remember when I watched stuff like this as a kid and didn't really care about it.
Yeah. This is like a total, like something that had I watched when I was a kid, I would have loved this. Because I love stuff like that. I love when, like, it you know, I think we get, like, a little too... fixated on the way things look now, and we don't focus on, like, what it's saying enough.
There were a lot of comments about that, and I'd love to chalk it up to immaturity, but I think that would be doing people a disservice. It's just a difference of opinion. So
well, it's just the time we live in now. Now we're so used to, like, hey, there's got to be a half an hour fighting scene at the end of the movie, so make sure you put all of the money into that and make sure, like, a building in Chicago falls down. Because
we need something to show in the trailer.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, what I meant by that was to anybody who maybe made a comment to that extent about the way it looked or whatever, I will defend your opinion of that against people who would say, like, oh, well, you know, you just have it so good now, or that just things are just different now. Things are always different. This day and age, that saying is like the biggest logical fallacy. There's always a day and age, and things will always be different. So, you know, this is just a new world. And whether you like it or not, it's entirely up to you. Everybody's opinion is valid. So
I wanted to bring up that he mentioned the stakes aren't really raised at all. And I mean, I think they kind of nail it in that scene where they're like, I have to go die. That's the conversation he has
with
his grandson, who he leaves. And then his grandson says, don't die. I love you.
Right.
I would save you. I'm sorry.
I would save you, Opa.
Yeah.
I mean,
that was a nice scene. But to be honest, like, other than that, Opa doesn't really care about it. He's like, yep, it's coming. I have to die. It's happening. And then there's like a struggle that, like, apparently is supposed to be traumatic for the child, which it probably is for any child to see that happening, but it's just kind of awkward. And then I guess at some point the father tells the doctor, please put needles in my grandfather and put him to sleep. I'm ruthless. I will do anything.
But he sort of backpedals on that a little bit.
Yeah.
He tells the doctor to go home, and the doctor's like, you don't believe this, do you?
Right.
And he's like, of course I don't. But
that's the reason why he had the doctor come over and put him to sleep, because he was like, my dad's going to go die tonight.
Yep.
Like, that's what's going to happen. I have to stop it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's really sad about it. So, all right. Next comment is Mohobo, or Mohobobo, wrote an extensive wrote an extensive and interesting theory about how this entire episode may be an allegory for death with dignity. This is an excerpt that I took away from it. It's a great comment. It's very long. But this episode could be – this is the quote. This episode could be construed as a pro-euthanasia story to dispel any negative attributes behind dying with dignity. Opa used to live in a nursing home, and then for some reason he's now moving into the house that his son has built. Here's the big assumption, though. He has some kind of mental or some kind of terminal illness, excuse me. Which I think we see reflected. We just kind of talked about that. Moreover, and this is back to the quote now, it's never directly addressed, but Opa mentions to his son that now he's going to die in the place that he was supposed to die 75 years ago. So after watching this episode, I think one could interpret that he is going to this new house because he plans to die there. Obviously, that's like what's on his mind.
Right.
I think that's a really interesting interpretation.
Yeah, that's a really great point.
Yeah, I think that that's like, you know, a theme that Spielberg and again, like the whole 80s were going for. Like, old people shouldn't die in these factories and these, like,
oh my God, yeah.
In this these, is like, a prevalent death theme. Houses, you know what I mean? Like, they should die with their family. People in the past used to die in the house that they lived in for their whole life. They didn't move around. That's where they lived and died.
You have hospice come over just to handle the body. That's basically – my grandmother died when I was 7 years old. And I don't really remember it vividly, but I've been told the stories and everything, not to bring the whole episode down. But, Josh, it's exactly what you're saying. You know, like,
well, no,
she had, she had breast cancer, and they didn't ship her off into a hospital. It's like, okay, don't want death around.
You know, like, I don't want to see this.
Right. You only have so much time left. But I have had – all my grandparents are dead at this point, as opposed to next week, like they won't be. But
they might come back.
Maybe
there's a ghost train coming through soon.
I've had my three other grandparents died in their 80s, and one suddenly, maybe thankfully, and two others, it took them quite some time. And they were definitely, you know, even though they were in very good care, very thankfully that they lived lives that were able to accommodate really excellent care at the end of their life. You know, man, you go to those places and you're like, oh, what are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we doing? Why are we
sad? My great grandmother was in a home for a while and it's just, I believe she started suffering from Alzheimer's and it's just, you would walk in there and I went to visit her a number of times. But you would walk in there, it smells awful. Nobody, like, everyone's out of their mind. And it's like, just because they're all that way doesn't mean they all belong together, shipped off onto some right. island. It's really Bingo. Sad.
Yeah, my grandfather had Alzheimer's. Same thing, yeah. Dom, you know?
It's real. I mean, did you see that Seth Rogen, when he addressed Congress?
It's fantastic. About it?
That was really great. And I wasn't really aware of that stuff because I didn't have to live with it. I never have, and hopefully I never will. But it's a really sad thing to have happen, and it's kind of a cruel way to treat somebody.
Right.
I had it going on to me for like 5 years with my grandfather, and it was a nightmare. And watching my father go through it, and I was living with my parents at the time, you know, that it's his dad, you know, and that's a nightmare. And then my grandmother, she just had continual failing health for years, and they were just constantly like putting her back together again.
Yeah.
And to what end? And not that I don't appreciate, you know, all the time I got to have with her because we were very close and I did get to spend a lot of time with her, fortunately, you know, and all. But like towards the end, it was just like, enough is enough. Like, come on, you know,
yeah.
I'm sure nobody wants to die, but
I just wanted to make a point and say people who have put people in homes and stuff like that. Like, I don't mean to say you're bad human beings or anything, but
it's
like,
what we do.
Living with Alzheimer's, like with somebody with that is,
it
has to be so difficult.
It could be dangerous. It can be dangerous too.
Absolutely.
Like, Some of them set fires. Some of them, they just don't know. They don't know what fire is. They forget, like, what fire is. Like, that's how crazy that is, you know? Like, I don't know. My grandfather, I think that the terminal illness that he's talking about in his comment isn't necessarily a like, cancer or anything, like a disease like that. I think it's more dementia, I think, because he, you know, the mom at the beginning does the cuckoo, so, you know, like sign,
and at the end he taps his head and he's like, mine like trapped like a steel bridge, or
he
says.
Like reaffirms that he still got it, you know. I mean, I don't know, when my grandfather was dying, he was in the bed dying. It just took a crazy turn.
This but, like, is great. I love it.
There
I love
someday.
It.
Yeah,
syndication
yeah.
station. Everybody and he faced was, immortality now. Let's do it.
And he was like, I'm in Chicago. And we're like, you're in Chicago. He's like, I'm eating a hot dog. And I don't know. Like, I think about that a lot because, like, he wasn't crazy. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's not that bad. Maybe he was in his head eating a fucking hot dog from Chicago. That's
from
pretty
Chicago.
Fucking sweet, you know?
I'm into that. You know I'm into that.
The assassin dog.
I love hot dogs.
Mahobobo's comment about death with dignity carried some weight with us, and we thought we'd bring it up. You know, it's an interesting concept. Like you said, Josh, you know, it may not be like, you know, so obvious. It might just be like, well, this is just my time. This is when it's time for us to go, you know, like we've had our lives. All right. On with the funny. Lion of Judea 613, great name, I assume, said a lot of questions regarding – or I'm sorry, had a lot of questions regarding this episode. And I think I can answer all of them here very quickly. Yes. All right. Next comment was from Digital Beeps. Digital Beeps wrote a really academic constructive criticism saying, I'm not sure this episode quote, I'm not sure this episode would have hooked me into the series. There wasn't too much that was interesting or intriguing about the story. The production value was pretty high, and it did have nice practical effects, which I'd love to talk about in a minute. But overall, it felt like a Spielberg movie crammed into a half-hour format. I got the feeling that Spielberg shot a lot for this episode and had to whittle it down for time. There's editing that doesn't follow, or the editing doesn't follow that well from shot to shot in some of the more picturesque moments. And some of the scenes, they feel downright clunky. All of Spielberg's tropes are you know, crammed in here, trimmed down to 24 minutes, which never really gives them enough time to build up to satisfaction. Everything feels very rushed, and there's a very little emotional impact of the grandfather leaving the family. Two more sentences. The shooting style is there, but never feels nearly as dynamic as a Spielberg movie, probably as a result of the length and possibly the shooting time. You can see Spielberg's style in the shooting with the contemporary dolly-ins, the action and shadow, the sweeping landscapes, the ghostly lighting, etc., but unfortunately, none of it seems to flow as well as one would expect from such an experienced director. Digital Beeps, thank you for such an academic you know, deconstruction of the episode. There's much more of that in his comment if you go to their subreddit. I think we talked about a lot of these points, but guys, what do you have to say?
I think the important part of that sentence was the first one you said. I don't think this would have hooked me. You have to keep in mind, like, back when this was made, like, shows didn't do that. Like, this wasn't the age of, like, oh, I saw it whenever I wanted to, and then I just turned it off because I didn't like it. Like, we're so fucking spoiled now, and it's ironic that I'm saying this because, like, we do shows like that.
But, yeah, sure.
But, yep. You know, this was going to be on for a time. Like, if you caught it, you caught it. You know, it wasn't...
And there was only so much competition. The cable wasn't a thing in 1985, you know?
Right. It just...
I mean, chances were, when this aired, there wasn't much else on, so you were going to watch it.
Right.
Probably anyway, because it was Steven Spielberg produced.
Right. Yep. Exactly.
Yep. I'd like to make a comment, point out the fact that the practical effects are fantastic. They drove a train through a house.
The boards, the floorboards?
The floorboards
is great. And the lighting, I know, I'm sure it was a soundstage, et cetera, but they built a set, put actors on it, and then smashed it while the actors were there. Nothing is comped in.
Yep.
There's no sleight of hand. This is in-camera filmmaking at its best. And
how about that?
We've lost a lot of that.
We have lost a lot of that because CG is cheaper.
It is.
It's a shame. That's why The Thing holds up, because it's all real effects and stop motion. It's beautiful. The new Thing, it's kind of crappy. It has zero charm.
I'll go to bat for the new Thing.
New Thing is a good fun time. It is so unnecessary. It doesn't need to be there.
I'm with you on that one. The floorboards, though, right?
Dude, the floorboards were good.
It still gave me chills, and like, it's a great shot. You know,
that's an example of some Spielberg shit that's fucking amazing. He can do shots that give you instantly a feeling, like maybe no other director. Like, I don't know.
Even though you may not have been afraid, you know that they were afraid. They're frozen in their tracks.
Yeah. It was
no
creepy.
Pun intended. Yeah. Yeah. It's another really good transition is when the kid holds up the switch sign.
Yeah.
And it's like Opa's like in the he's like through the lens.
The lens, yeah.
That's a total Spielberg transition.
Yeah, it is.
Like that's oh god, it's so good. All right. Chef Hathaway.
Is that Anne Hathaway?
Chef Hathaway, Reddit? Excuse me. Chef Hathaway left a comment saying, man, that engineer was smug as shit. Fuck you, undead train engineer guy. You just broke my house. Also,
just walk in someone's house, start raiding their fridge, and leave on your ghost train.
I don't know what this
Get
is, but it sounds
here,
wet.
Jerks.
Why do they need to eat?
It's a long way back to heaven, Josh. They need coffee. They don't want to derail again.
Dude, also, Spielberg loves Mr. Coffee. He loves Mr. Coffee.
Yeah, dude. That's like a running gag with him. Also, Chef Hathaway said, Grandpa looks a little rapey. And then he kisses the kid on the mouth.
So. Yeah, what was up with that? That was weird.
Nah, man. I used to kiss my grandparents on the lips and my parents when I was a little kid. I was a little kid. Yeah. You're a little kid.
Some grandparent. Yeah. My grandparents did that shit, and I would always be like, yeah, I don't want you to do that.
I slapped the shit out of my grandparents when they did that.
I come from a very affectionate family, so make all your jokes. I'll kiss Grandpa on the – I'll kiss Old Pa on the lips.
Old Pa.
Old Josh. I'll kiss Old Josh on the lips.
Old – yeah.
All right,
no way, man. These lips are for sexy ladies only. Says so right on them.
You tattoo that on the inside.
Yeah.
Sexy ladies only.
Well, sexy ladies only. I'm not ruling out hot-looking dudes. Swell Gibson said, this is so dumb. This show is so dumb. Dom, did you pick this episode or did I? I think I may have.
You did.
I'm not trying to take ownership of it.
A different episode of Amazing Stories.
Dom, why don't you tell everybody?
I kind of want to talk about it, but I can't because I think we're going to do it in another episode.
Okay.
Yeah, and
okay.
I didn't watch it.
It's funny, though, because Swell Gibson, when I read your comment, I was laughing because I was like, I think I may have picked this. Like, I don't even remember a week ago. But, like, I was like, yeah, this show is really dumb. But in a good way. In a good way. Dom and I.
That's a compliment.
It is. Carl Winslow Ate My Dog said, Steven Spielberg is so goddamn whimsical. I was leaking fairy dust from every orifice by the halfway mark. I had to listen to Unsane to get back to uncomfortably miserable bastard levels. That said, I enjoyed it. It was very well put together, and it was a cute story. Not really something I can see myself overanalyzing. It was the whimsy equivalent of being beaten to death by a bat with a Wolverine strapped to it. Only the opposite. I might check out the rest of the series, but not all at once, lest my loved ones discover me at my laptop in a whimsy coma. Carl, I think he hit the nail on the goddamn head.
He just did the show for us, I think.
Yeah, yeah, that was the podcast in four sentences. Good job.
Nice job.
Yeah, it was magical. Wanted to listen to some hardcore afterwards.
Yeah.
Don't think too much into it, and whatever.
I had a good time.
Just whatever. Do something else afterwards. Brick 1322 said, they should have built a baseball field instead of growing corn. Much cooler ghosts that way. And
Nice reference.
Ghosts.
It's a good reference. It's a good movie reference, and it's true.
Yeah,
Ray Liotta will come out of a ghost baseball field. It's great.
Are you my dad? Yes.
I don't know. Am I?
Well, cool, let's play catch.
All right, I have a question about that movie.
Try not to cry at the end of that film.
I love Field of Dreams. Brick 1322 is talking about Field of Dreams for our audience who's uninformed. If you build it, they will come. And
that's where that comes from.
Ray, is it Ray, right? That's his name? Ray, the character, right?
It's, Costner?
I can't remember.
Yeah, Kevin Costner as Ray from Ghostbusters. he builds a baseball field. Spoilers, his dad shows up. Oops.
Does he know? Does he
watch that movie with your dad and you try not to have a hug afterwards?
If you don't have a dad, I feel bad for you. You probably had a really miserable life.
Yeah. I did.
I'm sorry, Josh.
His name's Ray, you are correct. Does he not know that his dad was a baseball player? I never understood that about that movie.
No, he tells in the beginning, since we're doing it, total spoilers, the whole thing is Shoeless Joe Jackson is supposed to be a conduit to him making peace with his father. And then his father, when he doesn't know, his father has been playing the whole time. Remember, like more and more ghost baseball players show up.
Yeah.
And then at the very end, it was Shoeless Joe he was the voice the whole time. And he's like, Ray, if you build it, and he looks over at the catcher and it's dead. He's like, he will come. And then he leaves. And Ray Liotta's a million fucking bucks in that movie. Oh my God. Everybody's great in that movie. The movie's amazing.
Yeah, James Earl Jones is really good in it. He loves baseball movies.
Yeah. Remember when I brought this podcast to such a screeching halt, the tracks turned on themselves and the train derailed?
And then, you had to stop for the little boy laid on the tracks, which was me.
Which was Josh.
Trains come for Mike. Now.
Yeah. Right. Oh, no, ghost trains.
Hey, how about
cut
to the worst parent ever falling out of bed?
Dude, parents can never get – in a Steven Spielberg movie, parents can never get to a kid's room on time, like in The Lost World. Dude.
Yeah.
Oh my God. All right.
They're like in a dream, like that dream where you can't get up and you're moving real slow.
Oh, yeah. I hate that. I always assume I'm just being abducted by aliens, so, you know.
That's what's happening.
Mm-hmm. I hope it's that instead of having an aneurysm, which is probably what's happening. Dan himself said, I gain nothing from watching Amazing Stories beyond the desire to watch more of The Twilight Zone instead.
That's a good point.
Corey makes
it
that
is.
Same
it's,
point.
I mean, yeah. Shows like this are. They're just like Twilight Zone light. You're never gonna. All right, you watched all the Twilight Zone, okay? Like you binged on them all, you watched them all. You're never gonna have that again because there are no shows.
No, would say for an adult, Night Gallery is a better show. Message that Twilight Zone has so many iconic episodes that deliver such a great message.
Yes, but
however, Night Gallery is just so rad. It's so rad.
Let's wrestle that bear on another episode.
Mm-hmm. I know.
No. I'm not dismissing you. Because I know. Because,
hey.
You don't gotta tell Opa.
I didn't want to derail.
No,
but
you're
I
not. No, I was the guy who just told the story about. What did I tell a story about? Anyway, the Twilight Zone, again, like Josh said, it's like a little bit headier. And we're really glad to hear that our audience likes that because we're probably going to be discussing shows that are in that vein. Even though there are plenty of whimsical episodes of The X-Files and TNG, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
You know, we like having a conversation about stuff. So
this episode for us, I'm gonna admit that I'm a total 80s whore. Like I am partial to all of the things I grew up with, and we kind of have like a I mean
the rose tinted glasses. There was a little bit of a nostalgia factor here, but I think it does its job. It's Twilight Zone light, like you said. It's just lighter fare.
A lot of that stuff is coming back now. You know, they're remaking fucking every movie from the 80s ever.
Yep.
Trying to cash in on your money. That's why they're doing it. They want your money because they know that those movies will strike a chord with you.
Right, and now it feels so much more cynical, not just for the cash-in, but because it feels like they're easier. This is lighter reading. It's not dumber reading. You know, this isn't – I don't think there's anything dumb in this episode. It's just not – you know, it's only the shadow end of the pool.
It's just not long enough. It's just – that's the problem.
That's the problem. That's the problem. There's your problem.
Zero naked boobs in it. Why did we watch it?
Dom's not ready to watch any show without naked boobs in it.
I guess we're only watching Tales from the Crypt from now on.
Or at least
a little side bun, you know what I'm saying? Let me get a profile shot of an old man's butt.
Dan himself also said, I'm going to Game Over Amazing Stories. I'm on the right podcast for this, right?
Nice job.
Hey, fantastic. Here's what I'll say about Amazing Stories. Give it another shot. There's a lot of cool directors and writers that got an opportunity to make some TV because Steven Spielberg was like, hey, all of my talented friends, do you want to, we need to make episodes. Do you want to do stuff?
So there's
a lot of neat concepts and neat episodes. So jump around a little bit. Don't watch any ones with aliens. They stink. But jump around.
But jump around in the series. And again, we're going to cover maybe one or two more episodes. So if you feel like there's only, I think, 25. No, I think, what are there, 40 episodes of this show? I don't even know. There's only two seasons, though. So if you feel like watching them all, I'm not going to tell you not to waste your life by doing that. But, you know, you might be ahead of the class. Dom. By watching some other episodes. I can't think of another time that a series did this sort of thing, like you just said, Dom, by giving directors a chance to make some television, except the only thing that comes to mind is in the early days of internet video when David Fincher produced those BMW-sponsored short films.
Yeah,
and it was
that,
like a cavalcade of awesome directors. Now, I know it was for a product, and I'm sure they all got paid millions of dollars, and it was like an action series, but I can't think of another series.
I'll say commercials from the 80s in general. Those Diet Pepsi commercials with
Michael J. Fox.
Michael J. Fox. Yeah. Those commercials are rad.
They're radical, man.
How about the Pepsi commercial that's directed by what's-his-face?
Who is it?
Blade Runner?
Yeah, Ridley Scott. I was about to say, if anybody's interested in watching a whole bunch of, big screen, feature filmmakers doing small screen stuff, go to YouTube someday, or at least just, you can Google search it and look up some of your favorite directors or some of the most prolific American directors and watch some of the commercials they've done. And they're incredible, even up to and including like David Fincher and whatnot. But Ridley Scott has a series of awesome commercials in the 80s and 90s.
I was going to say this is kind of like off topic, but it kind of is on topic, and I have a point, I promise. I was uploading the episode today.
Of Continue YouTube
on to Normal Boots, and I watched it all the way through to make sure I didn't fuck anything up.
Quality assurance.
And they showed the fucking Blow Pop commercial in the front of the episode, and I was like,
what?
I was like, that's fucking awesome. Why don't they do that? Why don't they show these old commercials in front of internet videos? Like,
I was saying this the other day, and I saw that happen when I was watching Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
Really?
They played old Nissan commercials.
Oh yeah, they would play
and those are rad.
Ridley Scott did like a whole bunch of those, no lie.
Those are super rad commercials.
Yeah, man.
And when Lee Clow did a bunch of that stuff too.
Yeah.
What did I want to say? Oh yeah, I pitched this to a friend. I was like, hey, if there is an option, because I'll watch commercials online, that's the way things are going, and I support that. I always turn off ad block when I go to any site that has that stuff.
And that's not just a call to action for our audience, just that online commercials tend to be more creative than the ones you see on television.
Absolutely. Mm. But I would turn on commercials on Netflix and Hulu if they offered retro commercials.
Yeah.
I would watch them. I would sit through them. Mm. It is nostalgic to see that. I don't understand why companies don't just reuse old spots.
Yeah.
They used to once in a while. Remember when TV Land came around and they had a bunch of old spots on
TV Land? And Coca-Cola will do it on occasion because their product has never changed. Well, it changed once. But,
in the magical 80s.
All right. We got one last comment here I'd like to read.
Okay.
I think this is fantastic. I think this pretty much sums up the entire episode. Even though we've said that like five times already. I think this really gets to the heart of the issue. Ghost Train, Amazing Stories, Syndication Station, Podcast, Episode 4. Imbeck 10 says, lesson I learned from this episode, Cubs suck. And the Cubs do, in fact, suck.
Some things that will never change.
I want to go back to Chicago. No, you don't. No, you don't.
For what, the Cubs?
He was wearing a Cubs hat the whole time. Grow up, kid.
Who was
Opa's dead. Cubs are
awful. Who was on his wall? Don Mattingly?
Yeah, it was somebody like that.
Did he play for the Cubs or was that the Dodgers?
The Dodgers.
Yeah. I saw this the shuttle model he had, and I was like, oh, that's uncomfortable. Yeah, you got another year of enjoying that kid.
Woof.
Woof. Woof. Buzz, your girlfriend. But yeah, so does that put a bookend to our episode of Ghost Train Amazing Stories?
You know what? I think it is. And I think I'm ready to kind of like pitch my spinoff here of this show.
Oh, no. Right. I almost forgot.
All right. Here we go.
Here's Joe DiMaggio.
These are Mr. Coffee filters. This is Mr. Coffee, precision coffee brewing system. This filter was scientifically designed to extract only the finest qualities from your coffee.
Guys, you were told to think of, in your mind, your creative place.
In your creative spot.
A spinoff or your episode. And I guess we can't really do your episode of this show because it's an anthology series.
We could do a spinoff of Ghost Train. Go ahead, Josh.
Wait, Josh, what's your amazing story? Let's hear it.
Somebody invents a time machine out of a Mr. Coffee, and it goes back in time to when nobody knew what coffee was, and everyone goes fucking bonkers. But then they decide we don't need Mr. Coffee. We just need each other.
I can't talk because I'm crying.
Yeah, I love it. Right?
Tears are coming out of my face.
Where can I send the money order? Where can I send my money, please?
You know where's the Kickstarter, Josh?
Do you know where I live?
Western Union, that shit. Overnight. Here it comes.
Western Union.
All right. I don't know. I got to think. An episode of Amazing Stories?
All right. Here's an amazing story.
Go on.
A guy. All right. Here it is. It's just going to come off at the top of my head. Ready? A guy. He's a cool guy. He's in a leather jacket. He's walking down the street. Bam! $20 on the ground. Oh my god, $20. I could use that to buy cigarettes because I'm cool. He goes to pick them up. Lightning strikes his finger. Oh my word. He goes to the hospital. Doctor looks at him and he goes, son, you're okay. You're going to be okay. And he goes, oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. He goes, but you can control electricity and you will have to choose if you will use it for good or evil. This is all the doctor says. It's all. And the boy stands up and he goes, give me some cigs. And he just shoots lightning at the doctor and kills him.
Please tell me he lights a cigarette with his lightning finger.
Hell yeah, that's the last shot.
4 out of 5 doctors agree. You're fucked.
So this will be chock full of lightning-based jokes and electricity getting fried, stuff like that.
Dom, there's a kid dressed up as Benjamin Franklin and hits it with lightning.
Dom, yeah, well, that's like the thing that's like, this has happened time and time again. It happens many generations. God lets someone control lightning.
I don't want to pull the carpet out from under your feet, but that's going to be an episode of The X-Files. You just explained one of my favorite episodes of The X-Files that we're going to watch.
Oh,
which I believe you need royalty checks for now, so call up somebody. Call up Fox. They owe you money. I don't know,
well,
guys.
I'll just take that coffee machine, time machine, and go and write that episode first, right before the X-Files does it, and go, hey, guys, got something here. You owe me money.
Got a little something for you. Old, you know, Dom, some money. All right, an episode of Amazing Stories. I think I'm going to pitch something that maybe you guys have heard me pitch before. All right, here we go. It involves a wizard. And this wizard can time travel.
Okay.
And this barbarian is trying to stop this wizard from time traveling. And so he gets a hold of the wizard's magical dagger, and he's able to break it in half before the wizard can create a stable portal to jump to another time where he would have been able to create an army to rule the entire world.
Okay.
And the wizard's like, oh my god, this barbarian's onto my shit. So he jumps through the unstable portal. Barbarian follows him. They end up in 1992 Los Angeles. And that's where the barbarian tries to chase the wizard, but the wizard gets away because the traffic on the 110 is fucking horrendous. Anyway.
No, that's right.
So the wizard has to partner up. Yes, this is another buddy cop pitch. Has to partner up with Bill Paxton from Predator 2.
Fuck yes.
Yes.
Wait, what happens to the barbarian?
That's what I said. The barbarian has to partner up. Excuse me.
The barbarian has to partner up. I thought you said the wizard.
No, that doesn't happen. I didn't say that. The wizard gets away. And the barbarian partners up with Bill Paxton from Predator 2. 90s cop, barbarian, partners in time. There it is.
Nice.
There it is. Coming to a theater.
All right. I like that. I'm digging it. Hey, here's my spinoff of this story, right?
What's the spinoff of your episode? Or my episode? Go ahead.
Oh, no, the spinoff of this amazing story that just happened.
Oh, go Ghost on. Train. Ghost Train.
It's called Ghost Train 2.
The ghost
train? Stopping dead in my tracks. And what happens is it picks off right as the old man gets on the train.
Mm-hmm.
You know, dessert cart comes by. He gets his nice slice of cheesecake. He's enjoying it. He's loving it. He's talking to everybody he murdered with his stupid little boy body. And all of a sudden, he's like, when's this train get to heaven? And he goes, this train ain't going to heaven, old man.
Oh, no.
And the conductor turns around, and it's Satan. And he goes,
no!
We going straight to hell. And everyone on the train is demons.
It is demons. And then fucking Demar Bergeau plays in the background.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. Cradle of Filth or something along those lines.
Yeah, and when the old man is trying to get off the train, he runs into the chef, who's this weird-looking kind of Italian guy who's like, oh, this train, we're gonna hijack it back. And he's like, are you Steven Seagal from Under Siege 2? I like that movie! That's it. That's all.
And the naked chick comes out of the cake.
Yeah, the boobs
got titties.
Dude, I'm ready for my paycheck. Come on, send them my way. Yeah. I don't know, guys. Episode
guys,
of Amazing Stories Partners
in Time. I don't think we can syndicate
any
of those episodes.
Oh. Not the titty one.
For Mike's, I liked Mike's.
Mike's is great. Mike's.
Well, Dom, in my head, you're the barbarian, and Josh, you're the wizard, and Bill Paxton is Bill Paxton.
No. Oh. Definitely.
Perfect.
You know, I might recast it. Bill Pullman's going to play Bill Paxton in this movie.
So. You know what?
That'll really confuse people.
You know who I always think Bill... you know who I always think Bill Paxton is, but he's not? Lance Hendrickson. For some reason,
really?
I always thought that.
Dom, super
and Lance
movie
Hendrickson is awesome.
Lance Hendrickson rules. Is awesome, and we might have to watch an episode or two of Millennium.
Yeah.
Starring Lance Hendrickson, the Chris Carter... concurrent series with the X-Files. Yeah, they took place in the same universe. And guys, a little bit of movie trivia for you here. Maybe the whole internet knows this at this point. If not, I might be like enlightening some minds. Bill Paxton and Lance Henriksen are the only two actors to have both been killed by a Terminator, a Predator, and an alien.
And an alien.
Whoa. Yeah, there you go. And a pumpkin head.
Lance Hendrickson is Pumpkinhead in Pumpkinhead.
Pumpkin kills Lance Hendrickson.
So good. All right, guys. I think that's going to do it for this episode of Syndication Station, unless you two idiots have something else to say, because I'm out of juice.
Well, I just want to bring to the table my episode that I brought on a silver platter.
What episode is that? Oh, do we have to tell them what to watch next week? Is that something we have to do?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
I picked it out. It's my episode.
That's right.
Don't try to say it's yours.
That's right, Dom. Dom handpicked this one specially for all of you out there.
Yes.
And we talked a lot about what we were going to do next, and it was a unanimous decision. Dom,
I know you're holding that chicken nugget. I know you dipped it. I know you bit it. Go ahead and dip it right back in. We're going back to Star Trek. Next Generation.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's okay to double dip, folks. I don't mind.
That's what the series is all about. Breaking the rules.
I kiss you on the lips, so it's basically the same thing.
The only kissing disease I have is falling in love with me.
Yeah. Where's that shirt? Jesus Christ.
We're going to watch Next Generation, Season 3, Episode 10, The Defector.
Yes.
And we will jump around and watch random episodes of stuff because that's how a lot of these shows were modeled so that they could be sold again.
Yep.
Yes, they could for syndication.
But the only thing that you really need to know about this episode before stepping into it, because I know we just did season one, now we're doing season three. It's okay. Josh, just introduce who the Romulans are.
Right now, you want me to do it right now?
just do it right now. Set it up. Just set up who the Romulans are in Star Trek.
Okay, the Romulans are not unlike the Klingons, the Federation's main antagonist. I would say probably they are more important than the Klingons, in that the reason the Federation exists is because the Romulans started an interstellar war with humans, Vulcans, Tellarites, and Andorians, and they won the alliance, as it were, of those four planets, which later then became the Federation. And for several hundred years, maybe 100 years or so, the Romulans have been in self-isolation. They've been in hiding. So nobody from the Federation has seen them or heard them in 100 years.
Mm-hmm. And so,
and
there is
you will be watching. Oh, go on.
Oh no!
On,
I was going to say there is a series of episodes throughout the first season that reestablish the Romulans, that reintroduce mm-hmm. them into the TNG universe as these primary antagonists, at least in a political capacity. There are right. other antagonists throughout the series, but I think Josh, maybe before we in the beginning of that our next episode of Syndication Station, maybe you can sort of give a Cliff's Notes if need be. Again, to sort of catch people up.
I'll talk about Star Trek all ding-dong damn day.
Fuck yeah. Dom picked this episode not just because it's a great episode and probably will give us something to talk about as far as storytelling is concerned, because we've sort of covered our bases already with TNG and the main themes, the overarching themes.
Right.
But also because we wanted you to sort of jump headlong into this. We don't want to hold your hand through every single episode. We might go back to the first season. We're crazy. You can't stop us.
It doesn't matter.
But it doesn't matter. Like, we watched these episodes like this when we were kids, again, because they were in Syndication Station. You caught it whenever you could when it was on TV.
Right.
Syndication
Sometimes
Station.
Sometimes you had to go, you know, not watch TV. You had to go with your parents to the wood store to buy wood or some dumb shit. Thanks,
yeah.
Dad.
And then you'd come home, and you'd be watching part two of a two-part series.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you'd be like, man, I hope I can catch the first part one day.
Yeah. Someday in the future.
Right. Maybe when I'm 30, there'll be a magical machine I can view all television and information on.
Maybe I can rent it from Hollywood Video or Blockbuster. Get real!
So we want to make you guys as uncomfortable as we were and just throw you into the middle of an episode where you might not have any idea what's going on. No, no, it really is a great episode, and it's a really good pick.
You'll be able to follow it.
You'll
no problem.
Know.
No problem. And guys, I don't want this episode to end. I don't want to go. I don't want to have to go on the train. I'd save you guys if the train was coming.
Mike,
if it was coming through our podcast. I'd save you.
Mike, I'd save you. I would
Thanks,
watch Josh die.
Okay, okay.
But I'd save you. I definitely save. You.
All right. I would pick up. I think I could Hulk you both up on my arms. But our audience might have to die. The audience might have
Do
to
Do I
lay,
have to watch myself die?
Lay down on the tracks.
Only if you want to be a ghost.
I kind of do.
Fuck. Yeah, who does? Dude, I'm dumb. You're not saving me for shit. I'm jumping in front of that train. I want to be a spooky ghost.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to haunt a haunted house and
yeah?
open it every Halloween?
What yeah. Did you just even ask me that question? You should have came over, kicked my door, and be like, Mike, we're going to go haunt a haunted house. And I'd be like, yeah, I know we are. I'm
How
ready.
Is that not a show?
I'm okay. ready to go now.
I have a new show. Can we do the segment again? I have a new show to pitch.
Tom, you kick the door open, and you're like in a spooky ghost outfit, and you're like, we're going to go haunt a house. And I already have a sheet over my head with eyes cut out and chains. And I'm like, I've been waiting for this moment.
And there's Dorito dust around the mouth.
Yeah. Around the claw.
But there's no hole. There's no hole. I just like chewed yeah. them and like sucked them
in the
By osmosis, you've absorbed them.
And then Josh just comes floating in. He's like, hey, y'all.
Hey, y'all.
Also, I'm a ghost Dracula.
Oh, yeah. Dude, ghost Dracula. That's like
Sorry.
Double on day.
And then every Halloween, we have to get the hotel ready for the what we think are guests, but they're just people there to check out our haunted house because we're dead ghosts.
Because we're dead spooky ghosts. We don't know. We'll call it the 13th floor.
Then at the end of the episode, we go, well, that was a great Halloween.
Yeah.
We really spooked them. Good night. Let's go get some Denny's and we leave.
that's the catchiest sign off ever. A good episode of Halloween. We spooked them.
Eat our sponsor. Wink, wink, wink.
Let's go get some Denny's.
The door closes, but then it kind of swings back open. I didn't close it all the way.
Yeah.
I'm a ghost Dracula.
Because you're a ghost Dracula. What do you give
Forgive
fuck?
Me. And the door opens back up a little bit, and what's that? A telephone comes off the hook, and a book starts to open, and a ghost, a real ghost, orders a pizza!
It's a ghost train, and a ghost train comes through and smashes the whole fucking place. You know, for a ghost train, that train was pretty tangible.
Yeah.
It wasn't like the ghost train in Ghostbusters 2.
You could at least bring the opacity down.
That ghost train in the Amazing Stories episode was like the train in the Franklin Institute. That's like, that train's like fucking there. It's really there.
Yeah, it's a goddamn steam engine.
That's not some ectoplasm thing. Ectoplasmic. All right, that's enough. That's enough.
You
guys, thank you so much for listening.
Better late than never.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of Syndication Station, the weekly podcast where we do whatever the fuck we want. I'm Mike. This has been Dom and Josh also. Say goodbye, guys.
Hey.
Goodbye, guys.
Leave an iTunes review if you can. Thank you so much.
Please leave all the reviews, and we'll see you on the subreddit.
Bye-bye. Oh, my God. Is that the ghost? Is that Josh's ghost? Boy, I sure could go for some Dracula popsicles.
Hey, remember when Opa made the whistle sound when he was passing out? That was great.
Yeah, that was interesting.
That's the sound. That's the sound he made. That was it.
Oh my God.
See ya.
See you guys.
Bye.